Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint here live on December 23rd. I'm also going to be here tomorrow live on the December 24th. You're not going to want to miss it. 406-294-0970 if you want to be on the show. 406-294-0970. You can also send us messages on the Montana Talks app. Got one here from Bob in Columbus. He says, "Morning, Noble. Refresh my memory. What does CR stand for?" CR stands for Continuing Resolution. And so what happens in Congress is they pass a bill and they say, all right, we're funding the government for the next year. And here's, you know, $10 trillion to be wasted in the next year by the federal government, or $6 trillion or whatever it happens to be. And then that funding is about to run out. And that's when you're going to get one of these quote unquote government shutdowns. That's another thing I'd take phone calls and messages about is are people happy or sad that the federal government is still open? I can't believe it didn't shut down Friday night. Judging by some of the phone calls Aaron was getting on Friday, I think most of the listeners here would have been happy to see the government shut down. I know I personally don't have any issues when the government shuts down. Tim and Billing sent a message. David, there is something in the water in D.C. Lobbyist cash, special interest junkets, funding for the foundations of the congressional delegates by money laundered through other countries and NGOs. True, Tim and Billings, which means maybe Matt Rosendale took his own water to D.C. like John Tester allegedly took his own beef to D.C. By the way, he didn't. Let's go to Tim and Billings on the phones. Tim, thanks so much for calling.
Good morning, David. So on the news break there, they talked about Matt Gaetz and his ethics report maybe coming out, and he wanted to fight it. And you know what? I'm all for his report coming out. And you know what else I'm for? Every other congressional delegate's ethics report coming out.
Amen. I want to know, and how about all the sexual assault settlements they've done too?
Exactly. There is a slush fund in Washington, D.C. that you and I have funded for our entire lives. Every tax dollar we've ever paid has gone into this special fund to pay off people who have been abused, sexually abused, physically abused, harassed at work by these people who get sent to Washington, D.C. I want to see a report on every one of them. I want to see how big of dirtbags they really are when they think they're behind closed doors and nobody knows, and they think they have the protection of all of their colluding little buddies there in the swamp in Washington, D.C. I want to see how big of dirtbags they really are. Because I guarantee people that people respect that are probably the biggest jerks you'd ever imagine they could be.
Well, Tim, this ethics report about Matt Gaetz apparently says that he hired a prostitute once. And, you know, the one thing that we know for sure about all those politicians in D.C. is Matt Gaetz is the only one that's ever hired a prostitute, right?
Absolutely. I mean, it has to be. That's what the media told us, so it has to be true.
I mean, it's so ridiculous, right? Hey, Tim, if you will hang with us through the break, I know I'd love to hear more from you. We do have a hard break here coming up. And then I do have a message from Tammy and Kalispell, Jay and Billings. Want to get to that. But Tim and Billings, one of the all-time great callers, calling in about what the heck is in the water in D.C. and what is going on.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. Mainly cloudy today with areas of light rain, or a high near 50 degrees. Tonight, clear to partly cloudy, low near 28. On Tuesday, mainly sunny, high near 47 early, low cool to 41. On Tuesday night, becoming cloudy with areas of rain showers, or a low near 33. Slight chance of rain on Christmas Day. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
This is House Call for Health. From toys to food, the holidays offer some extra challenges, including choking hazards for small children. South Louisiana Medical Associates offering some suggestions to help limit risk. When it comes to toys, check for loose parts or things that might break easily. Read labels and follow age recommendations. And keep toys that might be a choking hazard, like balloons, marbles, coins, or small balls, away from small children. Some other items to be wary of around little ones, tree ornaments, which are often small and easily breakable. And there's another holiday-related risk, button batteries. They're tiny and go on a wide variety of things like holiday cards, remote controls, flameless candles, ornaments, and more. And holiday food. Some of the most popular ones are bite-sized and could pose a choking hazard, like nuts, popcorn, hard candies, lollipops, raw vegetables, dried fruits, and cheese cubes. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Hey, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. I'll tell you what, if you're going to be traveling this holiday season, whether it's on a plane, train, or an automobile, download the Montana Talks app. Not only can you listen live through the Montana Talks app, you'll see some of the web content, some of the news and commentary pieces that we share, but if you're traveling, you're in and out of coverage, you're sleeping in, you can download all 4 hours of Montana Talks, and there's going to be some great content. David Noble, Scott Aspenlider, and more. Download the Montana Talks app on your phone.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's David Noble talking to Tim in Billings. Tim, are you still there?
What I know. I am here, David. How are you doing?
Hey, good. Thanks for sticking with us through that break.
Yeah. Yeah, you asked earlier what's in the water in D.C. I can tell you what's in the water in D.C. Lobbyist cash, special interest junkets. Money laundered through foreign countries and NGOs back into politicians, foundations that their families and friends operate at a massive expense, with only 5% going towards the stated goal of said foundation. And the other thing that's in the water in Washington, D.C., fluoride.
but not for much longer, right?
That's right. That's right. You know, I mean, just 2 years ago, if you even said that, man, I don't know if you should have fluoride in the water, people would look at you like your hair's on fire. And now all of a sudden the CDC is saying, hey, this stuff we've been putting in the water for the last, six decades may not be that great.
Right.
And because the CDC says so, all of a sudden, because there's pressure, because you have somebody like Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who's going to become the head of the CDC, who's been kind of railing against things of this nature for a long time. All of a sudden, now it's news.
I'm kind of,
and all the people who have been called crazy for the last several decades, now all of a sudden people look at them and think, "Wow, how did you know?"
Hey, I'm curious to hear what. Just one more question. I'll let you go, Tim. Going back to the Matt Gaetz ethics report. And I've kind of heard Matt Gaetz talk about how, oh yeah, if they release this, then I'm going to war with Congress and I'm going to expose everything else that's been, all the wrongdoing everybody else has done, et cetera, et cetera. Do you think, can he do that? How's he going to do it? And you talk about, I want to see all these other, settlements and all these other ethics reports, but is there any way for us to actually get that?
I'm not sure. I think he could probably say a lot of stuff and it would all be hearsay. He could probably, honestly, if that stuff is funded with our tax dollars, isn't there a Freedom of Information Act request that could be made? Because anything that's funded by public money should be known to the public and available to them at their
request. I agree with that.
I think it's possible.
I totally agree with that, by the way. It should be available, and that's why there should be cameras in our federal courtrooms as well. We're paying for it. We should get to see what the heck is going on in there. But no, you're right about that, Tim. As always, thanks so much for the call. Very much appreciated. So, by the way, if you guys missed the 6 o'clock hour, I kind of opened it up by saying, hey, folks, Matt Rosendale's on his way out. Matt Rosendale has had a long and long and storied career in Montana politics, and we're about to say goodbye to him. at least in an official capacity. I don't know what his plans are for the future, but I sort of invited folks to call in and say your goodbyes to Rosendale or say your thanks or whatever else. And of course, you know, this is Montana Talks, and you can call in about anything you want. You can send messages on the Montana Talks app. Tammy in Kalispell says, good morning. Matt Rosendale stood up for us and took very conservative stands, even while Rep. Zinke was publicly insulting him. I could only hope that both Zinke and Downing can follow in his footsteps and truly represent Montana and its conservative values. Merry Christmas to you and everyone at Montana Talks. Merry Christmas, Tammy. Jay in Billings says, Matt Rosendale has been a statesman in his representation of Montana citizens. From my perspective, Matt has never been a politician. Those who trade favor and position without regard to the beliefs of their constituency. Matt Rosendale, sir, thank you for your steadfast discipline and standing against the insanity of the D.C. swamp during your terms as our Montana congressman. Well done. I would encourage Matt to come home and continue representing our interests. Get on the Montana Talks microphone. Thank you so much for that one. Couple more. Menace from Ennis says Matt Rosendale voted against the CR. Zinke voted for it. That is factually accurate. Caden says, the producer here says, our politicians don't make policies. The corporations sending them millions of dollars do. Very, very true. It's ridiculous the way that these bills are passed. They're written in secret behind closed doors, and then they're dropped on Congress, an hour before the vote. It used to be they'd be dropped like an hour before the vote. And then I think in this Congress, they've at least been able to go so far as to start putting in place like a 3 days. Hey, like at least give us 3 days to read your stupid bill before we have to vote on it. And so now you're having thousands and thousands of pages of blowout, immoral, unethical, stealing from your kids, stealing from your grandkids type spending. And then Congress is told, vote on it or don't. And if you don't, we're going to go into shutdown. And it's like, what in the world? This is not the way to do it. This is not acceptable. This is not the right process. And so, yeah, you talk about who the heck is writing. And we don't even know who's writing these bills because they're being done in secret behind closed doors. And we know, a lot of times it is the special interests, unfortunately. You know, I got a story here out of Shepherd that I thought was kind of interesting. I don't know if any folks out there are following this one, but there was a piece by Mac Carmack posted online. Shepherd residents are disappointed that a judge had postponed a ruling on this landfill. And so the story goes, for many Yellowstone County residents, it was frustrating and disappointing Friday afternoon as Judge Nisley ruled to postpone a decision to start operations at a proposed Shepherd landfill. The Yellowstone County Courthouse was full of ribbons. The group's attorney, which is the John, is it Mayer or Meyer with the Cottonwood Environmental Law, who, by the way, I have interviewed here on Montana Talks, he says, stop the Shepherd landfill. So what's interesting about that case, though, is not just the Shepherd landfill and blah, 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 but the fact that the district courts are delaying rulings and that the public is so upset about it. I think timely rulings on legal matters is a critically important function, role of the thing a judiciary should do. We're not seeing
this,
it, apparently.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
A housing reality that's been in place in the high-cost cities for many years has started to arrive in Montana, and that is this. It takes two full incomes to be able to afford a house. One-income households, even for many above-average-paying jobs, simply can't do it, especially with mortgage rates above 7%. Now let's throw in another data point, child care costs, which can easily top $12,000 per year for a family with two children. Simply put, the cost of housing and feasibility of starting a family are intermeshed. That makes having a family even more of a dilemma. When both spouses need to work to afford a house, that can necessitate expensive child care as well. Those facts might help explain why the fertility rate, defined as the number of children born to women age 15 to 50, has been falling since 2007 in the U.S. A rate of 2.1 is considered sufficient to keep population from falling over time. Today's rate of just over 1.6 falls quite short of that. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with Speaker's Lobby. Members of Congress are vulnerable. They're not supermen and women. They're flesh and bone like anybody else. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell recently fell during a Senate lunch, D.C. Fire and Rescue came to the Capitol to evaluate the Kentucky Republican after he cut his face and sprained his wrist. McConnell also froze up at several news conferences, both in Washington and Kentucky recently. He fell at his home in 2019, fracturing his shoulder. McConnell isn't the only prominent lawmaker to stumble. Former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi took a tumble down some stairs in Luxembourg and had to have surgery on her hip. Retired Rear Admiral Barry Black isn't a senator, but frankly, his commanding, rumbling bass is better known than the voice of many senators. Black has served as Senate chaplain since 2003, but Black suffered a subdural hematoma and bleeding on the brain. He's been in the hospital. The only thing more resonant than Black's powerful vocal instrument are his words. Black artfully weaves friendly pastoral counsel into his daily prayers. They're delivered from the Senate dais at the beginning of each session. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks at with Lane Nordlund.
Now that President Biden has signed the short-term funding bill, farmers and ranchers are looking to see what information pertaining to agriculture was included. The bill provides $20.78 billion to help farmers and ranchers with disaster losses during the past 2 years. It will also provide $10 billion in economic assistance through a formula laid out in the bill. The legislation creates one-time payments to producers based on 100% of planted acres and 50% of prevented planting acres for the 2024 crop year. The bill also requires USDA to issue those checks within 90 days after the bill becomes law. The payment rates are not final and subject to USDA discretion, but estimates from House and Senate Ag Committee staff break down the following crops like corn at $43.80 a bushel, wheat $31.80 a bushel, and barley at $21.76 a bushel. Those payments should be subject to 125,000 payment limits that could possibly increase to $250,000 for producers who receive 75% or more of their gross income from farming. The bill also included an extension of the current farm bill through September 30th of 2025. Passing a new farm bill is 2 years behind schedule already. Dropped from the bill was a provision that would have allowed year-round sales of B15. I'm Lane Nordlund.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, so we right before we went to the break there, I was talking about this story that came out of Shepherd here late Friday about the landfill case that's going on there. There's a proposed 320-acre landfill project that was supposed to start here in January. It was approved by the Montana DEQ and then became the subject of this lawsuit. And then according to this lawsuit, there was all sorts of problems with the permitting and blah, 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 blah. They said the company should have provided more information. But what I thought so interesting about this was how basically the takeaway from this story was how the public is just very, very upset that they can't get a ruling. I think a lot of folks out there, they kind of expect to get rulings from courts. You know, you have a hearing on a Friday afternoon. You kind of hope, you know, maybe you'll get a ruling on it. But what we're seeing here, at least according to this news story that was published late Friday afternoon, is the public sort of having some concerns about not getting rulings. And what's interesting about that is that I think there might be some bills here in the upcoming legislature that could help fix those problems. I know Aaron was talking to Rob Nadelson, former Montana Law School professor Rob Nadelson, last week, and said, "Hey, what's some of the most important things, you know, we could do to improve the judiciary here in Montana?" And boy, do I have some stories here to talk about today about coming out of the judiciary in Montana. But one of the things he said is, you know, make specialized courts, make a chancery court, make some business courts. And, you know, it's just so interesting that conversation between Aaron Flint and Rob Nadelson happened last week. And then that very, very Friday afternoon, you saw that story come out of Shepherd. Aaron Flint apparently is up and at him this morning, tweeting out in the 6 o'clock hour a Fox News story. And if Aaron's tweeting it, I'm going to cover it. This is a Fox News story, pretty sad story, but young mother facing permanent health problems after gender transition warns that she was sold a lie. And this is a Fox News story from just yesterday. Precia Mosley, 26, claims medical professionals pushed her toward gender treatments despite her history of trauma and mental illness. A young mother who transitioned from female to male as a troubled teen before detransitioning shared regret and permanent health problems. I feel like I was an experiment and gender ideology has robbed me of my health in the future, she said in an interview. Really, really sad. Talks about how she began transitioning to a male at 17 when she was struggling with anorexia, suicide, and trauma. She said transgender activists online convinced her that she was unhappy because her body was fighting to be a boy. I was a child and I believed it. I thought my body's not just horrible, it's entirely wrong. All my problems are because I'm really a boy. Unfortunately, this isn't an isolated story. I've seen lots and lots of stories in places like Fox News, but also on social media, of people talking about how they really, really regret this. They were taken advantage of. Lifelong damage, medical damage, all sorts of problems. But what's really crazy is when you take that story, and you're seeing that type of story come out more and more now as the word gets out and as people, accept that type of a story and show sympathy for it, and et cetera, et cetera. And you're seeing that, and you're also seeing places around the world, you know, turn their back on doing this to little kids because, you know, there's just so many reasons to be against it. And at the same time, you've got some pretty crazy stories coming out of the Montana, the court systems. Here was one that I saw. Montana judge blocks rule that prevented transgender people from changing their sex on their birth certificate and driver's license and everything else. This is a story that came out last week. I'm sure Aaron talked about it. State judge in Montana temporarily blocked policies that prevented transgender people from changing the sex designation on birth certificates and driver's licenses. You know, I saw a comment online. It was like somebody had said, oh, well, you know, we know that drugs and diseases impact men and women identically. So this shouldn't cause any problems for medical treatments and medical services. Obviously being sarcastic. I don't know how you can change the biological sex on your birth certificate and driver's license and then expect to receive appropriate medical care. And here's the other problem with not having accurate vital statistics. You know, it's actually important as a state, as a society, to have vital statistics and accurate information on what's going on in our society and our culture. How are we supposed to respond to public health emergencies when you've got a bunch of inaccurate vital statistics in our database? Not a good situation, folks. And then you've got Trump coming. Say right before that break is that it's crazy how you've got the incoming Trump administration, who obviously reflects the will of a majority of American citizens, period. And he's just last night. Actually, there's stories out this morning about Trump speaking at the America First policy thing that happened this weekend, which had a lot of good content. But Donald Trump is going to come in and take a wrecking ball to all of this harmful radical ideology coming for the kids with the transgender stuff for little kids. And so so you've got the Trump administration doing that. You've got stories coming out about the damage and the permanent damage and the regret. You've got other countries and stuff going, you know, reversing course on this stuff because the data is not there and it's so obvious that it's harmful, et cetera, et cetera. And in Montana here, we're just doing the exact opposite. We're just doing the exact opposite here in Montana. You've got all kinds of different rulings coming out of the courts in Montana that are just egregious when you look at the sort of the national story and what's going on with that whole piece. So that's an interesting one. Got some more messages here on the Montana Talks app. Morgan in Helena says, David, when you have time, look at a congressional bill like the CR and compare it to a state legislative bill with the adds and deletions clearly stated. There's no way anyone can read a federal bill and know what is in it. Good point, Morgan and Helena. No, that's a good point. The one thing that that's kind of interesting, I think, is going to be helpful on these bills is the use of AI. And I'm sure folks have sort of seen everybody put that 1,500-page CR into AI, and then AI was able to basically spit out within a second, oh, yeah, here's all the pork, here's all of the lunacy. And so in terms of reading those bills, hopefully AI can really do some good job in terms of exposing this crap, because they've done this in a way to intentionally hide it from the people. They'll drop, and this one was only 1,500 pages. I've heard a lot of times these omnibus things, these CRs, a lot of times they're 5,000 pages. Forget 1,500 pages. And then we've had 3 days to read them this session, but previously it was not 3 days. So historically, the way Congress does business is they'll drop a 5,000-page bill on Congress and say, vote for this tomorrow, or we're shutting down and we're going into default and everything. And it's just insane. But now with the use of AI, maybe we can, and frankly with the use of X, and that's the big story everybody's talking about this weekend, is how Elon Musk was basically able to drop a nuclear bomb on Congress and them trying to pass that blowout immoral bill, and the use and power. Of course, it's not Elon Musk. It's not X. It's not AI. What it is the American people's voice finally being heard and listened to in D.C. Don't blame this on Elon Musk or X or AI. No, this is the American people's voice demanding cut federal spending.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint. Some disturbing stuff going on there right now with this shooter of the United Healthcare CEO, the health insurance CEO that got gunned down. Apparently, there's a big throng of young ladies standing outside the courtroom in New York right now supporting him. And then this story came out over the weekend. Meet the groupies sending love letters, commissary money, and other gifts to the murderer and assassin of the healthcare CEO. The alleged healthcare CEO received more than 140 messages during his brief stint behind bars in Pennsylvania, including from groupies and admirers. And of course, now he is in New York City, and you've got a throng of young ladies out there showing support of him. And I guess people on X are posting about, tell me more about toxic masculinity, when you've got a whole bunch of 20-something ladies out there supporting. Of course, I don't view it as a gender or a sex thing, like what's the discussion going on Twitter right now. To me, this is basically a good and an evil type of thing. It got nothing to do with political beliefs, although it does have, there is a correlation there, I think, with political beliefs. Nothing to do with sex or gender or anything like that. But if you're evil, you would support a murderer assassin. If you're not, if you're a decent person, you don't. I don't think it's any more complicated than that. Hey, folks, did you guys know that the state of Montana is taking your taxpayer dollars and supporting tourism funding, and they're doing it by giving it to the chambers of commerce? This is crazy to me. The Montana Department of Commerce has just recently, this is a story from NBC Montana from December 22nd. So this is an NBC Montana story that came out yesterday. The Montana Department of Commerce is allocating $750,000 of our money This is our money that should be in our pockets. Instead, the State Department of Commerce, apparently, I'm assuming through legislative appropriations, is spending $750,000 to support tourism. Hey, state government, can you spend $750,000 to support legal services in Montana? Can you spend $3 million to increase construction? Can you spend $750,000 to support the legal industry in Montana? I mean, I'm being facetious here, obviously. Why does the tourism industry get $750,000 of my money and your money to support it? Listen to some of this. The Anaconda Local Development Corporation is getting $12,600. The Arts Council of Big Sky is getting $23,000. The Big Sky Balloon Rally is getting over $7,000. The Bitterroot Performing Arts Council is getting almost $12,000. The Bitterroot Valley Chamber of Commerce is getting $18,000. Then there's a whole bunch of chambers of commerce. The Copper Village Museum is getting $16,000 of our money. The Darby Rodeo Association is getting $25,000 of our money. The Dillon Montana Community Foundation is getting $25,000. I can keep going on and on and on. The Miracle of America Museum is getting $4,000 of our money. The Lewis and Clark Foundation is getting $4,000 of our money. The Prickly Pear Land Trust is getting $25,000 of our money. Run Wild Missoula is getting $25,000 of our money. I mean, on and on and on. This list is like two pages. There's literally two pages of this, on and on and on. You know what I'd like to see done with that $750,000? Instead of giving it to, like, look, the Raidersburg Historical Preservation, Inc., I'm sure Raidersburg Historical Preservation, Inc. is a wonderful group that's got lots of wonderful goals and a great mission. But you know what I'd like to see done with that $750,000 instead of giving it to things like the Raidersburg Historical Preservation, the Old Salt Co-op, the Montana Kayak Academy, Missoula Downtown, on and on and on and on. This is our money. You know what I'd like to give it back to us? State, Department of Commerce, legislature, give us our money back. I don't want millions and millions of dollars going to promote tourism and to promote more people coming to the state. I mean, I don't necessarily think we need that, do we? Do we even need that? At the same time, what we're having happen here in the state is also adding a whole bunch of more public lands, folks. State parks. You name it, the land board has just recently approved a 33,000-acre conservation easement in northwest Montana. And you know what's awesome about this? It was not unanimous. Despite the fact that our state land board is 100% Republicans, this vote was not unanimous. You'll never guess who was the one vote against it. In a 3-to-1 vote Monday, Montana Land Board, this is a story from December 21st, so the story came out towards the end of the week, but it actually happened apparently last Monday, adopted language amending an agreement between the timber company Green Diamond and Montana FWP that closes the book on a conservation project that took 4 years and $40 million. The Montana Great Outdoors Conservation Easement is located between Kalispell and Libby, encompasses parts of the Salish and the Cabinet Mountains. Where does it say in here? Let's see. The easement faced a tumultuous path to adoption. The board's 3-to-1 vote alters the easement so that mineral rights holders shall not be infringed upon. Well, that's a good improvement. Oh, here it goes. For some reason, I thought this was somebody else that had voted against it. State Superintendent and Land Board member Elsie Arnson opposed a final vote on the easement, arguing more discussion is needed, indicating the state legislature may be inclined to weigh in. So that's a big story. I thought that there was some earlier votes that were interesting. I think there was some interesting positions related to how long the easement was going to go. That mineral rights issue was kind of up for discussion. But that one didn't bother me nearly as much as the $750,000 to promote tourism. Absolutely ridiculous. Let me just say one comment about the Montana Supreme Court ruling in that Held case. Okay, I don't know if folks realize this necessarily, but from what I've heard from other folks is that who actually have followed that closely, and if I haven't read the case or anything like that, but what I've heard from folks is that basically that decision from the Montana Supreme Court is really not going to have any impact whatsoever at all. And frankly, I think you saw even some of the dissents talk about how the real downside to that ruling is not the actual effect of it in terms of the effect on the parties, because there's really not going to be much of an effect, because all it said is that there's a state law that says environmental permitting decisions should not be made by taking into account man-made global warming, which is good public policy. That's a good law. It's ridiculous to say, oh yeah, we're not going to allow any of these coal power plants, or we're not going to allow a manufacturing business because of man-made global warming. Are you joking me? At the same time, China and India are adding a new coal power plant every day. We're gonna prevent factories from being built in Montana because of man-made. I mean, it's ridiculous. But so what the Montana Supreme Court said is, no, that's unconstitutional because of this quote-unquote guarantee for a clean and healthful environment, and saying, no, that law is unconstitutional, which means, I guess it means that the state can take into account global warming when making permitting decisions now, but it doesn't mean that they have to, and it doesn't mean, at least this is what I'm hearing from folks. So the bottom line is it really isn't going to change much because, okay, so now the state cannot rely on a statute that says you're not allowed to consider man-made global warming, and now they can just say, okay, we considered it, or okay, we don't have a statute that says we can't consider it, but we're just still not going to consider it anyway for lots of different good reasons. Or they consider it and they reject it. You know, so the effect of it may not be much. The problem is that it opens up sort of the idea of it like an advisory opinion or an academic opinion. You know, courts are not supposed to be issuing advisory opinions. And it was one of the very first things early on in our country's history. I think President Washington, I think, maybe asked the Supreme Court, like, hey, is this constitutional or is that constitutional? Can you give me? And the Supreme Court said, no. The Constitution says we hear cases and controversies. For there to be a case or a controversy, you have to have parties that have been injured where the courts can redress the injury, et cetera, et cetera. When you file some statute, a case like this, Held case, where it's like, hey, we just don't like this statute because it's going to impact the environment. And no, there's not a specific permitting decision here. And no, this isn't going to really have a huge impact. But we just sort of want to have the Supreme Court say that the legislature can't deny taking into account man-made. And this, okay, yeah, well, what that could do is generate a lot more cases like that is not going to have a big impact, but really look bad.
This is the energy of electrification. Available Type S high performance variant, nearly 500 horsepower and 278 mile EPA range rating. Choose from our complimentary charging packages so you can charge how you want. The all electric Acura ZDX. This is the energy of innovation. Acura, precision crafted performance. Count down to the new year in the all electric Acura ZDX with $0 first month payment and $1 due at signing.
Fox News commentary.
Why don't we protect children the way we protect celebrities? I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
It is time to take the quiz.
5 days a week, it's 5 questions in less than 5 minutes. We ask people on the streets of New York City to play along. Let's see how you do.
In the Christmas classic, It's a Wonderful Life, which lead character says the line, "Say brainless, don't you know where coconuts come from?"
Never saw it.
George Bailey.
How'd you do? Exactly. These get tougher, so hang on.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox. Thank you for taking the quiz.
Tragedy struck Wisconsin this week after a teenage female suspect opened fire on fellow students and a teacher at Abundant Life Christian School. And right on cue, the left turned this horrific incident into fodder for the gun control movement. President Joe Biden renewed his calls for an assault weapons ban, though it's important to note that the suspect used a handgun and was a juvenile, so the only law that would have prevented this would be gun confiscation, which we all know is not constitutional or feasible. Also, to state the obvious, individuals who shoot up schools tend not to follow laws in general. But you know what could have prevented this tragedy? Maybe something basic like a metal detector or a school resource officer. Why are some on the left so against those simple adjustments? You know, in a fantasy fairyland, we'd hope schools wouldn't need to be protected and fortified. But this is the real world, so perhaps, just perhaps, it's time. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. Mainly cloudy today with areas of light rain. Or a high near 50 degrees. Tonight, clear to partly cloudy, low near 28. On Tuesday, mainly sunny, high near 47 early. Then will cool to 41. On Tuesday night, becoming cloudy with areas of rain showers. Or a low near 33. Slight chance of rain on Christmas Day. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
Hey, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. I'll tell you what, if you're going to be traveling this holiday season, whether it's on a plane, train, or an automobile, download the Montana Talks app. Not only can you listen live through the Montana Talks app, you'll see some of the web content, some of the news and commentary pieces that we share. But if you're traveling, you're in and out of coverage, you're sleeping in, you can download all 4 hours of Montana Talks, and there's going to be some great content.
David.org/blackcommunity.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's David Noble filling in for Aaron Flynn. And can I just say, can we get a Montana Doge? I would love to see a Montana Doge after seeing this article about the State Department of Commerce blowing almost $1 million of our dollars, giving it out in grants to things like, you know, Red Ants Pants Foundation, the Montana Kayak Academy, the Miracle of America Museum, the Lewis and Clark Foundation, the Kinnick-Sioux Land Trust, the Highway 10 Synergies, the Helena Symphony, the Hever Area Chamber. On and on and on. Can we get a doge? Because I could use some government efficiencies here in the State Department of Commerce, apparently. Holy smokes. Talk about wasteful spending. Talk about Rand Paul's Festivus for the rest of us. Can we get a Montana senator to do what Rand Paul does and every year do a Festivus for the rest of us or whatever he calls that thing where he points out all of the just wasteful spending, which is, by the way, I think where we all learned that the federal government has been using our taxpayer dollars to fund drag queen shows in Ecuador, you know, or studies about how shrimp perform on underwater treadmills. I mean, what's worse? Let's think about this, folks. What's worse? Spending our taxpayer dollars on studying shrimp on underwater treadmills, spending our taxpayer dollars on, you know, drag queen shows in Ecuador, or spending our state taxpayer dollars on things like the Western Museum of Mining, the Western Legacy Center, the West Yellowstone Foundation, Two Rivers Economic Growth, Travelers Past Preservation, Omera Art Syndicate, TFS Community, Run Wild Missoula, on and on and on. It's like, look, those are all great orgs, I'm sure they're wonderful places that, you know, donate your money. But do we need the taxpayer dollars going towards, especially when all of us here in Montana are overtaxed as it is? We need tax cuts. You know how you get tax cuts? You cut spending. Tim in Billings says, remember when Bullock was governor and our state was spending money with the advertising firm, and I believe it was Minnesota, and that firm employed one of his relatives? Yeah, I do remember that one. Oh, classic. Evan and Belt says, David, when we have people supporting chopping off body parts, young women supporting an alleged murder, lawmakers involved in all kinds of illicit activities and all kinds of stuff, shirts out there offering their solutions. In my mind's eye, the only true solution to this is when we as a nation get on our knees and ask for divine help. Merry Christmas to all listening, and may the new year be an opportunity for great blessings for our great country. Amen to that, Evan and Belt. Amen to that, and Merry Christmas to you as well. Really appreciate the message. We got a lot to be thankful for still being here in Montana. We got a lot to be merry about, including, of course, celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Really good stuff. One of my favorite news stories over the weekend is Donald Trump wanting to buy Greenland, wanting to annex Canada, and wanting to take back the Panama Canal. Finally, we have a president that wants to stand up for America first. We should have never given the Panama Canal away. And frankly, making Canada a state, you know, I'll take Alberta and Saskatchewan, but yeah, you know, Canada can keep, you guys can keep the other provinces up there. But hey, if Alberta and Saskatchewan want to become states, you know, I'm fine with that. In fact, you know, maybe that's not, you know what would also be a good state would be carving off Eastern Washington and Eastern Oregon, making them their own state so that they can get two senators. How do you like that, Democrats? You want to try to make, you know, Puerto Rico a state and Washington, D.C. a state? Well, fine. We'll just make Alberta and Saskatchewan. And how would Greenland vote? Anybody out there know? How would, if we made Greenland a state, would they vote Republican? I don't know. I don't know how many people live on Greenland. But I love Trump posting about the United States Canal. Are we going to take back the Panama Canal and rename it the United States Canal and put an American flag on it? And then Trump calling Justin Trudeau, Governor Trudeau of the great state of Canada. Doesn't get any better than that, does it?
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
A housing reality that has been in place in the high-cost cities for many years has started to arrive in Montana, and that is this. It takes two full incomes to be able to afford a house. One-income households, even for many above-average-paying jobs, simply can't do it, especially with mortgage rates above 7%. Now let's throw in another data point, child care costs, which can easily top $12,000 per year for a family with two children. Simply put, the cost of housing and feasibility of starting a family are intermeshed. That makes having a family even more of a dilemma. When both spouses need to work to afford a house, that can necessitate expensive child care as well. Those facts might help explain why the fertility rate, defined as the number of children born to women aged 15 to 50, has been falling since 2007 in the U.S. A rate of 2.1 is considered sufficient to keep population from falling over time. Today's rate of just over 1.6 falls quite short of that. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.